Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news. Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's episode is blessed with the presence of Carrie. She's the host of the Sip and Shine podcast, which is a retro-inspired cocktail podcast talking all about tales of histories, scandals, pop culture, and hot mess struggles. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hey, hey.
Well, I went on to your show last week. I don't know when that episode comes out, and I've like been thinking about how funny our episode together was. And I also, for listeners of this show, I told one of the juiciest stories, probably the juiciest thing that's ever happened to me, the most scandalous thing that's ever happened to me, to you on your show.
Dad, it was like a call your daddy level. And I listened to you as a fan. So as you're telling me this, I felt like it brought me back to circa 1996, confessional at like St. Mary's Church. Like I legit was feeling like that. Like I felt like we needed to light candles afterwards.
I needed to sage my life a little bit after that, where I was like, okay, that was something in my head. I was always like, oh, it'd be so funny to talk about it on a podcast, but I can't really talk about it on mine. Simply because this guy might hear it, and God forbid, the other woman in this situation, listen, I don't know, the whole thing, I was like, I'm just very much removing myself, but hey, I was on the Sip and Shine podcast, and it just fell into our laps, so definitely go and check that out whenever that comes
out. If they Google you, they probably won't find you, at least, because you have the most anonymous name. You're like that classic 23andMe name, like...
Yeah, I'm basically like the Jane Doe of Irish girls. Megan O'Donnell, there is many of us. We first met on Jess's podcast not a couple months ago. What was it, like a year ago? I don't even understand time anymore. The Blonde Unfiltered podcast. And on that show, we both bonded over Family Karma, which was, I believe, like in the middle of season one when we were chatting about it. And this past week, they have confirmed they are shooting season 2. So happy.
They listened to us. That's when I'm like, there's something, either we secreted out in the universe or they actually like listened to the podcast to know that we demanded them to come back.
We were the only ones. No, everybody really, that was the only reason why they're bringing it back. But I saw a couple weeks ago on a Facebook production group talking about, I think I was telling you this, I don't know, I go on so many shows and talk about Bravo nonstop, or I saw a listing for an associate producer for like a 9-week project filming in Miami. Mm. And then in my head, I was like, I wonder if it's Family Karma. And then they spotted Richa, who is, how is his name? Vishal's, fiance. Oh my God. I'm like roommate, friend. I'm like, true. So they spotted Richa at some.
That wasn't my perception. That I'm just repeating what somebody else said.
Right. Like, did I say that? Probably. Like, I think I might have known the person who said that. So Richa was talking with producers at some building in downtown Miami, talking about attending a pool party with the cast the weekend before. And I guess they were preparing her for some kind of confrontation with another cast member for an upcoming scene that they were going to be filming. And they were then also spotted filming some B-roll outside of the building's lobby. So safe to say we're getting a season two, baby.
I'm telling you, I think we talked about this on mine, and that'll be the last reference, I promise. But I feel like Reels Channel or some other channel is going to jump in if they don't have more diversity on Bravo. Like, they've got to get on that, or else another channel is going to pop up there. Like, I mean, Oprah, where's Oprah? What are they doing? Or E. E's not doing anything. They're right across the hall.
Yeah. I mean, E doesn't really have any like real original programming at this rate. I think E is really going to be screwed after the Kardashians leave the network. But I saw on some Instagram thing or Facebook group that Sheena was kind of implying that Vanderpump Rules might come back and air on E rather than on Bravo. Saw that.
Yeah, we'll do it. It will do just as good as the Abbey did. They don't promo their shows. Just like they drop Wags. I mean, they don't promo their shows. It's like a date where you have like a really good date with somebody, but you know you're not going to hear from them the next day. Like, that is what E Channel does.
Even with the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, that show was so good. And I know some of them were like moving on to bigger and better things in their career, like a la Morgan Stewart and EJ. You could have always found other Rich Kids in Beverly Hills to be on that show to supplement while people were coming and going. So even that one hurt when it got off air.
Well, you just cycle them out like that. That's how they keep the franchises going on Bravo. That's one secret they do have. The brand is the show concept, not so much the individual personalities. But the personalities don't know that, though. They're not clued in on that.
Well, I think for Family Karma, most of the people will stay the same. I cannot remember her name. She was the auntie. She was like the one who is between being like one of like the younger generation and the auntie. Oh my God, her name is escaping me.
She's the Indian version of me.
Bali.
She really is. Like, I don't want to hang out at the old people table, but I'll go hang out with like the 26-year-olds or 23-year-olds. And they're like, bitch, you're too old to be sitting here. But we're going to respect you still because we don't want to be.
Yeah, I don't know about her because I know she was like potentially going to be moving to like Tennessee or somewhere with like her cute Southern boyfriend. So I don't know if she'll be on the show, but I also can't see her not being on the show if it were having a second season. You know, I feel like she's like, all right, I think I can maybe push this move back another 6 months until filming is over. Oh, maybe we'll get a third season. Okay, yeah, maybe I'll stay around a little bit longer.
Because she was willing to create conflict. And I know people, there's two types of people hate. Is either they hate side characters, they'll be like, oh, they're so boring. But I'm like, you can't have everybody be a main star. You need supporting cast. And you need people that are willing to create the conflict and to jump in and create it. And she would create that conflict. So they need somebody.
Yeah, and she was also kind of like the conduit between the older generation and the younger generation and had her ear in both conversations. Brian has a girlfriend, because he's so cute. He's like too cute. Like, I get it. His face is just perfect looking.
Pretty. Just for your audience sake, I am not intentionally cutting in on you. I just can't see your face. It's like people don't understand when you're podcasting. People will complain like, oh, you no, it's like playing double dutch when you don't see people's faces.
Most of the time I'm not that bad. I've been actively trying to be better, but I recently heard a show I did and it was really hard in the back end for editing. I'm like, oh God, we really both were just like too in it, and then like the overlap is just like aggressive. Okay, so moving on to other things, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City comes out November 11th. And to honor this premiere, Bravo has teamed up with some wine brand to make their own Real House White, Real House Red, and Real House Rosé wine with...
Can I make a comment about this? Yes. 90% of Utah, and I'm saying this because I went to a military school with somebody from Utah, okay? So they were very educational about Utah, okay? And one of the chiefs I totally adored was from Utah. 90% of Utah is Mormon, therefore they don't drink alcohol or even caffeine. I remember the one guy was like, yeah, I drink Dr. Pepper as a treat, you know, on my birthday or whatever. So for them to bring out a wine line is very interesting to me. It's like kind of, I don't know where they're going with this.
I think they probably were just trying to like anchor it to something, but regardless of it being for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I think people will still buy it. Granted, it is so outrageously overpriced for two bottles of red wine. It's $52. And I'm sorry, I'm not playing
the Vanderpump prices.
Like for that amount of money, I could go and get three or four good bottles at like my local wine shop and support a small business. And also know that the wine might be of a little bit of a better quality. Like I just have a feeling this isn't quality wine, and the price tag for something just to say the Real House Red is not really worth it. And house red wine and house white generally is the cheapest type of wine. So
well, you could go to, at this point right now with plane fares, you could go to Salt Lake on those prices, because I looked at Chicago and I could go to Chicago on those prices. Secondly, I feel like they're day late, dollar short, because we already had Vicky and Tamara who tried to do a wine line. Mm-hmm. You had Ramona, you've had, you know, Bethany do her liquor. Yeah. I mean, how many
Brandy,
other people have done?
Which is yeah. WeHo.
Yep. Lisa Vanderpump. Who else has your day late wine? Dollar short? They're trying to get on this. You know what? Bethany left. So now are they not getting a cut of her profit? Well, she actually sold out. So, I mean, the other wine lines are probably not doing that well now either.
I mean, I believe they're probably all defunct. I know when the Witches of WeHo were having all their issues last season, they were like, can we even work together on our wine line because of all of this brutal drama? And I think at this rate, they're all kind of friends again, as they've, you know, have shared trauma from getting fired. So they had to band together. So I wonder if we're going to get like a baby Witches, like the post-pregnancy brew.
Did I tell you the story? Not to go off track, but do you remember in the Real Housewives of DC where he had his wine?
Oh my
and
God.
They were like stomping grapes. They went to the store, like the grocery store, and bought grapes.
How can I forget? Which is like the DC Housewives are my favorite franchise. Shameless.
I'm friends
to
with
go-
him on Facebook.
Really? What's yeah. he doing?
Okay, so he's all in a polo. I'll actually bring him up now. I'll do so he's all in a polo, and something very interesting. What was his name? Like Tariq, right? We have friends Tariq in common. Salahi. So this guy is now adventure seeker. This is his description. Adventure seeker and lover of life, rated top 5% social media influencers in the world. His website is tariqsalahi.org.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah. So he's team captain at IPT USA polo team by Celebrity Cruise Line. And that and he's the team captain at IPT USA polo team by Royal Caribbean. So he does those. Former appearance at CBS David Letterman appearance. Owner at Oasis Linery. He is former National Man of the Year at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Studied viticulture and enology at UC David, went to the Randolph-Macon Academy, and he lives in Delray. I'm about to send you a picture with him, and it looks like he's with a sex doll from his
Mikhail? Oh, that is like service? Most definitely a sex doll.
Yeah.
With a necklace on.
Yeah. And he bought his own popcorn.
The Inn at Little Washington. That was where him and Mikhail had their first date. Why am I so psycho?
If I hear from him, if I get unfriended, I'll be like, oh.
I just friended him. I like that his thing says top 5% social media influencers in the world. Like, what does that even mean? Sometimes people are so ridiculous with like the way that they talk about their ranking. Like, I know this one podcast and the host is always saying like, number one top podcast. I'm like, for who? For what? On what chart? And the charts always are changing. So what is this number one top podcast? I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I am as well. Thank you. But anyways, we are at the baby news, which evidently is a like weekly segment on this show because everybody and their mother is having a quarantine baby. Brandi Redmond from the Real Housewives of DC. So she is pregnant with baby number 4. And this is kind of a miracle baby considering she had miscarriages and her and Brian had struggled the last few seasons to have a kid. And now they lost her mother-in-law in a really horrific car accident a couple weeks ago. So the fact that this baby is now coming into their lives is just, is great. I like Brandy, you know, not my favorite person in the world, but going through something so shitty as losing your mother-in-law so young and having your daughter be scarred by that loss and now having like a beautiful baby on the way. I'm just so happy.
She, let me tell you something. She was pre-menopausal or perimenopausal. So she literally gives hope to us all. Like she had talked about it on one of the things that they had discovered that she was going through perimenopause, which you can go through early or like 7 years out from actual menopause, but that's part of her odyssey of fertility.
Well, I'm happy for Brandy and their family. And I mean, babies bring so much joy into people's lives. And so she deserves some joy in the form of a little baby Ginger. So we also have Eliza Limehouse from Southern Charm, who is expecting a child with her husband, Mark Struthers McBride Jr. And I want to say, you listen to my show, I very rarely am right about things, but probably like on episode like 124, I think 125, I did a solo episode and I was talking about how Eliza was like, I'm no longer coming back to Southern Charm. It's like, well, literally nobody asked or cared. So you don't need a People magazine article. And in that, I said, I believe it's because she's pregnant. She keeps having these fake photo shoots with her husband, and skinny white girls never miss a summer to post a skinny bikini shot, especially it, like even in a pandemic. And when I didn't see any bikini shots this summer, I was like, she's pregnant.
Did you see a chalkboard? Did you see a letterboard or a chalkboard? Because that's like a symptom apparently now of pregnancy. She, let me tell you something. She is like that yearbook girl that has like the bad hair.
Yeah.
And then the way that she like makes her announcements, it's like she finally got to sit at the big person table. Yeah. And she's kind of like Landon's little sister.
Oh, yeah, it was hard when she, yeah, that's actually like really good. She was definitely like a Landon in training, but like they wouldn't even give her that, they wouldn't even give her the light of day. And also she's 23 years old. She's like dealing with Shep, who's pushing 40. She's dealing with Patricia, who is ageless by Patricia. Like, I don't know how old she is. She
could be bought her book, by the way.
I want to read her book really badly, even though the thing is I'm struggling with is that she's like a massive Trump Republican. And so I'm trying to like put my pennies where the person I want to give money to people who don't support that bullshit, but I still do want to learn how to be like a Southern woman. Like I want to learn how to host. I want to learn how to throw like turtle themed parties.
You want to do the champagne cake, don't you, where they have the champagne growing down?
There is nothing I want to do more than that, actually.
And you want fondue.
That's why like the Housewives are fun to watch, because like you learn all of these things that like rich people like, or like at the time like you would learn about like, I don't know, designers and traveling and all these different places, where I'd be like, Antigua, where's that? And then I Google it and then I'm like, oh cool, I want to go to Antigua. Or I don't know, like I think a lot of these shows are really fluffy and stupid, but you also do learn a lot about people and culture and traveling and some really amazing artists or some like really not amazing artists.
Are you trying to say that it's cultural and that you learn something from this too?
Yes.
Just like I try to put a spin that it's a historian. And like, listen, I don't want to know what happens at the trailer park because I have that at home. I already know what happens at the trailer park. And I'm not even knocking the trailer park. I already know, you know, I go visit my grandma there. Like I want to know what happened behind the gates.
Well, that's why I always say like these Zoom reunions are really frustrating to me, because I am in Zoom calls all day long. So when I see multiple boxes in any form on television, I just start to break out into hives. I'm like, no, 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 no.
You're watching the Brady Bunch. You're watching the Brady Bunch credits.
Oh my God, so bad. Well, other baby news. David Foster, Yolanda Foster from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, he is going to be a father for the 750th time, this time with Catherine McPhee, the singer, songwriter, and they are having another baby. And I thought his sperm expired after his documentary came out where he proved to be such a bad dad. Like, I feel like automatically your sperm should just be like, we don't work anymore. We saw the documentary on Netflix.
Are you trying to say his gene pool should not live on any further?
Correct. Yes.
He just reminds me of this like polygamist that without the, like, he just didn't have the wives all at the same time. He just like spaced them out. He gives me that kind of like Simon Cowell vibes with, but then he just keeps procreating, and he's not gonna, I don't see him like the warm and fuzzy dad. I just don't see that.
I mean, happening. For Catherine McPhee to be a part of this documentary, and then they probably had a premiere party and watched it and and like it was a big thing when it came out initially, and you see like all of its kids being like, dad was never there. Dad's a really great musician, but dad was never there. And Catherine's like, amazing. This is a perfect time. Let me get this 70-year-old man who's had 15 kids.
Because he can't go far much.
Yeah, that's true. Between a quarantine where he literally cannot go far, and then at a certain point his like hips are gonna give out. Like, he might be at home with Catherine and the baby, but I don't know. I struggled with that documentary because you see that he always put his career first. And of course, like when you're so talented on that level, so many men and so many women do that because that's just their calling and that's what drives them in this life. And of course, like your family takes a back seat. But with like the 15 wives he did have, he didn't treat one of them well. And that was the frustrating thing, where it's like, you didn't even have that one who like, you really, really loved, but you fucked over and she found the balls to moot, like to leave you.
Yeah. So I mean, how many wives is he on now? Oh, Yolanda. He dumped Yolanda.
Yeah. Well, even that, like during the documentary, there was a moment where I guess the documentarian asked him something about Yolanda. And he was like, you know, it's really frustrating when you've won a million Grammys and all of these things, and people only come up to me because of the Real Housewives. And then they asked a question saying, you know, what happened with you two? Or like, why did you break up? And it was basically like,
he didn't like the Real Housewives, but she needed it because she needed the paycheck, because he has such, I mean, he literally probably can advise you at this point to be a divorce lawyer, to know how to have prenups. Yeah, I mean, he really probably is like at that level of, you know, like those people that have gone through like tax issues or divorce or whatever, and they just get expert mode. He's like expert mode at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact is, like, I feel like one of his wives might just come up to him and be like, I want a divorce, and he's like, okay, bye. Like, he doesn't even like try to fight it. He's like, whatever.
She said that. He's just like, when he's done. He's like, this is the next day. He's like, this is not working for me. I'm done. I'm over. And he was just out. That to me is a superpower, because I live in the past. I hold on to like toxic relationships. I'm like, familiarity. That's why like I hear all these people talking about OC right now. And I'm like, no, look at my choice in men and relationships. That will tell you that no, familiarity, I cannot take on a new show right now. I'm going to stick with it. Like, I know OC, my standards are low. I don't have high expectations.
My expectations are so low with this season. I mean, I'm like, are we talking about OC on this one? We actually can perfectly lead into OC stuff, but I watched the most recent episode this past week and it is just not gripping me. I'm definitely interested in Bronwyn's storyline, but I also believe that this is such a raw new thing for her to be going through, and to really, really, really be willing to put it all out there on screen for us seems to be.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
like a little intrusive. I feel like I shouldn't be mm-hmm. watching this. Whereas mm-hmm. like, you know, Lala and other people who have gone through their sobriety journey on the television, on screen, haven't necessarily been as real and raw as Bronwyn. And it's been difficult to watch this all kind of unfold.
Okay, so with the Bronwyn thing, I was going online because I love to read other people's comments because I am very impressionable and I will be swayed. Okay.
Yes.
I have no shame in my game.
I love it.
Okay, so someone said that if she's getting the shakes, I actually wrote this down. But I did not write down who said it. So I really suck at play. I'm not plagiarizing though. I'm repeating somebody else. So if you're mad, get mad at them, not me. Okay. But she said that if she's getting the shakes after 15 minutes of no alcohol, then she's like, girl, you are totally manufacturing this storyline. Like you're totally embellishing it. Yeah. You might have a problem, but you are now like overproducing your storyline. And it just seemed like the person that was speaking might've came from some sort of, you know, like even when she was saying that she was detoxing at home with her kids rather than leaving the house to detox, just people are kind of questioning not her having an issue with alcohol, but some of the timeline stuff and just some of the comments that she made. And they're like, well played your second season. Like this is, you know, you're kind of producing your own storyline. I'm not saying that.
I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily believe that. Because
yeah, I'm not saying that because everybody has opinions. I have attended myself Al-Anon. I've attended Al-Anon. I think I've had people I know in rehab. I think everybody's journey is their journey and how they react. And obviously, I think last season there's stuff that they didn't even show that was just too wild. I'm not saying that, but I'm just very interested on how everybody is kind of just have opinions on it, on her journey. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think like the internet is like such a cesspool for people to say comments. And
I know that's like, what my point is. Yeah, like, you cannot come, just, like, you can't come out with anything like, oh, my husband just died. Well, you know, like they're going
to
still have like a
drove him to have heart disease and you gave him too much mac and cheese. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know. Like I was saying, like, I feel like it's intrusive to be watching this and I hope she ends up giving herself a little bit of a break. And I like that her husband was supportive in that way where he was saying, you know, this is very new for you and you're obviously having a really difficult time with it. So if you do fall off the wagon, that's okay. We will just pick you right back up and we'll keep going.
I think he gives her the nurturing that she didn't give from her mom because I think she has mommy issues. I kind of feel like you do where I know Lala went through it and so did Leah before filming. I don't know how much she was saying that she was sober 14 days and then filming where it's like, does Bravo have any ethical No. I mean, can they say like, okay, we need 30 days or, I mean, like they had Dorinda, they finally took Dorinda off for a season. I think she'll end up being back, but.
Well, and I think that's a fine line that these shows kind of are teetering, even with like freedom of speech. It's like, I understand why people don't want Kelly on the show. However, how can you say that? Like, I don't agree with anything she says. And I think she's an ignorant fucking idiot. But there also is, like, freedom of speech. And yeah, of course, a lot of her speech is hateful. But Bravo, like, what is their role in this? Like, how can they step in and say, this isn't okay? Like, I think in this context, Bravo and the producers knew that Bronwyn was going through the sobriety journey, yet they let Shannon do her fake, I brought a pregnancy test and you're going to take a pregnancy test. Like, that is so bonkers to me. She had to have let them know that they were going to be doing this pregnancy scene thing. That's, I think, a moment where a producer can come in and say, hey, she's actually really going through something and she will let you know on her own time. But let's not do this. Like, let's not do this. Like, I think they need to be able to come in and step in when they need to. And of course, try not to fabricate so much of the storylines. But I think that's that's an example of where they can step in.
Yeah. Or, I mean, then some people can say, oh, well, she's an inspiration and all that too. Like, yeah. I said, I just found it very interesting how some people are, even this being such a new storyline, it's so pro or doubtful. Like, I'm just like, it's so new. We saw one episode of it, but yeah. I'm still here for it to like read what other people think of it. Cause like I said, I'm impressionable.
Same. So Bronwyn actually recently came out saying she is no longer living with Sean. And I mean, I don't know, like it's weird watching television now, like in the era of COVID, even watching the OC episode where it was like Emily's birthday party, like every hug, I was like, hug, hug, hug. Like I'm so like conscious of touch and groups of people now. And mm-hmm. it's pathetic because I mean, our country could have been in a place where we didn't have to be in this specific place due to some choices by our leaders. But I feel I'm like, oh my God, I forgot what like that normalcy is. And now when I see it on television, I'm like, there are too many people in this indoor space. And yeah, I'm going to
know like, this is so vintage. It looks, yeah. I don't think it will ever be the same. I mean, I thought it was really ironic. I saw some humor in this, some irony with New York, how this week Sonia, they put a picture of Ramona, Sonia, and the new cast member, I think her name is Ebony, out on yeah. Instagram. Ramona looks so salty, but then I was thinking about it, I'm like, they stuck her on a beach after Leah's tirade about you were on the beach with no mask and all yeah. that. I'm like, she
you
did
can't
not
get
who
is it? You can't get the virus by the water. You like, what was she like? You can't get the virus.
I wasn't wearing my mask in the water.
Yeah. The frustrating part right now is because like there's a lynch mob after anybody does anything. But mm-hmm. you know, like so many people just aren't posting the things that they're doing. So it's like no one will fucking know. Like,
let me tell you something.
What so many of these people are actually doing, and then they're like, "Can you believe she had 3 friends in her backyard?" It's like,
I know. It's like. Well, and the thing, like, I dig Leah. I think she's a good addition, you know, whatnot. But Ramona's in her 60s. She's not trying to put herself out there like she's some role model. She was quarantined with her ex-husband and her college kid doing, like, TikToks or whatever. Like, she finally got her kid to come home. Like, and what's her ex's name? I always forget his name.
Mario.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think like she's not trying to change the world. If she is, it's because of her skincare products or whatever she's trying to sell. Like she's not.
Which is going to change the skincare game.
Yeah. Or what was it? Mario's like, what was he used to sell? True like fit. Trophies? Yeah. Trophies or like his icon necklaces.
Like
or
Jesus whatever. Necklaces. She's like, yeah. There's nothing more than a 13-year-old loves than a big cross.
Exactly. Yeah, she's not out there changing the world. She's not trying to be a role model.
No, most definitely not. But just kind of quickly going back to OC. So we see Bronwyn go through the sobriety journey. And then once like, you know, the death of George Floyd happened and all these protests were taking place all throughout the country, Bronwyn became like super involved and became a real advocate. And now she doesn't talk to any of the cast members on the show. She talks to Shannon, I believe, because I saw her on Watch What Happens Live and she mentioned having some sort of relationship with Shannon, but it doesn't look like she's friends with the others. So I wonder how this whole sobriety election protest wokeness has affected her relationships with the other ladies, because this, we all know like the ladies in OC are like very, very, very conservative. And Bronwyn is supposedly dating a woman now, so there's like that other layer as well.
I think it's so I love the issues and the relevancy. I think sometimes people watch shows because they think that they, because there's two schools of thought, because remember I read Twitter, and so I'm on both sides, okay? Where some people want it to be an oasis away from real life and some people want to see it to reflect what real life is, okay? From what I understand, I don't live there, but Orange County is a little bit more on the conservative side. But I also think going through recovery within my own family, a lot of time, like we took up some activism too, to like channel our energies in for good. So maybe that's kind of an offshoot of maybe her recovery too. I don't know. I can't say. And it's not my business because I went through Al-Anon and I mind my own business. I stick to my side of the street. That's all I gotta say.
Well, rumor had it this past week that Vicky Gundelson and Steve Lodge potentially broke up. I guess they don't follow each other on social media anymore, but no one knows if they did follow each other on social media before, but I have a feeling he probably is at his wit's end watching.
He sees her face all the fucking time. He has a booming Cameo account, so he can't say it's because he doesn't know what social media is.
Booming Cameo account.
Let me tell you something. I just blocked the Colonel this week because I don't want him making any comments about my Instagram. So I have no room to talk because I'm like, I don't want him to fucking follow me and give me commentary on what I'm posting.
As I go to his Cameo, I'm like, what is he? I'm like, when is he going to start an OnlyFans?
Oh my gosh. If anybody pays for that, I will totally go in on it. I will do halfsies.
Yeah. Maybe throw it on my business. Wow. Oh my God. It's so funny. Like, I'm like just looking at the Cameos, which is like one of my favorite places to go when I'm bored. And I'm looking at like this reality star, Chris from The Circle. I forgot that show even happened. All of those major shows came out early 2020, like Cheer, like RIP Cheer, that guy, they little rapist, Jerry, like how sad that like the guy everybody loves the most is actually the biggest creep.
Yeah,
I don't know where that came from.
I don't even
from.
Have anything yet. I have like nothing.
I was like, and he's so young.
I was like, oh, was this 17-year-old? But then when I like read more into it, I was like, whoa, hold up. This is really bad.
Yeah, like young. You guys cannot Google that.
But is that community college somewhere where people go when they're older too?
I mean, I don't know. That whole thing was like kind of sketchy where they're like, we have the biggest cheer competition in the history of cheerleading. And then it was like literally Texas, between like that community college and like a neighboring community college.
Let me tell you something. What? I love me some Texas. I almost retired there, but Texas is like its own country. They have their own culture. They have their own cultural tradition. So I didn't understand fully the whole community college thing with cheer, but I will totally buy into it and believe it because it's Texas and they're not very clued in that they're still their own country. Like they literally, they're Texans first. Not everybody, I'm not saying that, but Texans not to piss first. Off Texans.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
if you have a
really
negative comment to make it on Bravo. I know. Yeah, I love Texas. Texas is a tax-free state. I looked at relocating there. Every time I go, I am like I can walk into a bar and feel like I'm Miss America and I'm not Miss America material. I mean, they are so nice to me. So no, I have zero
good
issue.
I
spent a lot of time in Texas.
Where did Texas even get caught brought up? No, I'm trying to think. I'm like, what is this train?
We're not
of
even
thought?
Talking about like Dallas. We're just like
I'm like Dallas, how's always anything? I'm like, wait, no.
No.
So I'm going to quickly pivot this topic into some Summer House news. So Hannah Berner this past week was recently hospitalized because I guess her intestines were wrapped around her appendix that was inflamed. And then she ended up having to have her appendix removed, which like, I don't know anything about anything in terms of medical stuff, but this happened while she was filming Bravo Chat Room and she just like started getting this really bad stomach pain. And obviously Miss Jokey McJokerson was like, I just thought something crazy was happening to my stomach because of all the sex I talk about on podcasts. But no, my appendix burst.
Yeah, she thought she had really bad gas or she needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, she kept being like, I just kept thinking it was a really big fart. It's like, has your body like ever rejected a fart so badly?
Oh my God, I hate that word too.
What, reject?
No, the other word you said. And I listened to the whole podcast about her butt too, and I like got through it.
I don't even know the word. Now I'm nervous to say it again.
It's that F word you said.
Fart?
Yes.
You hate that word?
Yes,
that's so
I can. I hate
weird.
That word. I don't even Why? Say that word. I don't know. I've never said it since childhood. It was never said. I know it's
so weird.
I know, like, how
so
many people
weird.
Can I offend on your podcast? So far, I've gotten Texans.
Yeah, Texans.
Gotten people in recovery.
Like, and people who fucking love to F word. Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, we won't say that word. Anybody from here on out that we're never.
She's gassy. She thought she was gassy.
But no, her probiotic appendix burst. Not cool.
Which is very ironic after our conversation that we had.
Oh, yeah. So fill the listeners in on this podcast. I couldn't listen to it, which I will say, Hannah is killing it in the podcast game. Her and Paige started her Giggly Squad podcast, which is number one on TV and film for the past week. Number 19 on all podcasts as of today, which is Tuesday PM. And she has her own show, Burning in Hell. She's constantly going on Call Her Daddy. And so she's doing big things. Like, I've always stand Hannah, even being on Bravo Chat Room. Like, she's doing big things and deserves all the accolades. I'm not, like, that much of a petty, jealous bitch. I mean, depending on who we're talking about. But not
I'm curious what the rest of the house thinks of that, because they were not on the first season. They saw them as, like, the youngins in the house. So I'm kind of curious what they're thinking of her, with the fact that they kind of have taken over the house with popularity.
Yeah, I mean, no. Her and Paige definitely have, you know, kind of come in and brought some fresh blood to the mix, which I think was necessary because the Workus sisters had to go and Amanda and Kyle were getting really stale. And these two are fun. They were independent, they're confident. They valued female friendships, which is something we really don't see. And especially on a show like Summer House, where the other women on the show were, like, so desperate for love and attention. Amanda was, like, the forever one night stand who turned into the, like, I guess forever.
Yeah, she girl. Well played.
I mean,
there's tons of TikTok therapy videos on trying to get your man to land your man, your fuck boy, and she did it. Well played.
But I don't even want to land that fuck boy. Like, that's so sad. Like, to think, like,
he's like the aging frat guy. Yeah, he's like the old frat guy.
Oh, I feel bad for her, and I think that's why she struggled so much last season with seeing Hannah with Luke, because Hannah was, like, pretty nonchalant. Like, if she didn't have, like, tearful moments of her being like, he doesn't want to be with me, he doesn't want to have sex with me, like, they were, like, very chill and, like, did their own thing. And, like, yes, he went down on her for 45 minutes to an hour. Like, I love that for them. Like, that's fun and that's great. But she was able to, like, have a friendship with him. They could party all the time. She could flirt with other guys. She could do really whatever she wanted and still kind of keep Luke on the back burner. And I think Amanda was, like, so envious that Hannah was able to have this relationship with Luke where they had a good conversation. He genuinely respected her. And she didn't to be in a relationship. Like, and she didn't feel the need to chase this man for the next 4 years of her life so that he gives her a limp ring when they're both wasted on a boat. I'm like, did she even remember her engagement? Thank God they were filmed. No. But, like, I don't know. And so I think she kind of saw that as, like, oh, wow, like, look at you. Like, you have standards. Like, you genuinely think you could do better than him. And that's why you're not fawning it all over him. Where Amanda was like, you're right. I guess I can't do better than you. I'm just going to date this, like, perpetual child for the rest of my life, I guess.
I think that, first of all, I'm from New York. I'm not going to lie. My ex-husband did rent the beach house down in Jersey Shore. I was underage and he was not. So I feel like I kind of relate a little bit to her. Like, he would call me at 2 a.m. and be like, hey, why don't you come over? And I would come over and he'd fall asleep. So I'd be, like, knocking at his, like, parents' window, like, bedroom window to, like, wake up. I, in my defense, I was 19 and stupid. Okay. So I feel like I'm recovering. Like,
you're recovering Amanda.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I think I'm a little bit more like Hannah in the way that I do think Hannah liked Luke more, but she was kind of playing it cool. But yeah, I do think Luke liked her when she had another dude. He's that guy who's, like, flirty and all that. But I think she got a clue after the season wrapped and she, like, moved on. I think he ended up liking her and she was already like, I'm over it, dude, you know, because he made the effort to go see her shows and stuff.
Yeah,
by the way, just to break in, Paige at one point lived in Albany. Just had to say that. That's where she like, talked about getting some of her fashion sense.
Mortifying.
No, it's not even that. Like, my mom listened by Glens Falls, but I'm just like Lake George, but I was just like, wow. She's talking about how her fashion sense was shaped by Albany. So I was just like a little impressed by that.
But, I mean, now I can't even look at Albany the same way after the vow. I'm like, how is this my state capital?
Do you know how many cults are in New York? There's so many cults.
That's really there's a cool. lot of cults. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of cults. But so Hannah was on The Taste of Taylor with Taylor Strucker.
Oh,
and
yes.
Apparently she's doing a lot of collabs with Call Your Daddy, right? Call Your Daddy podcast. And so I'm listening the other day and immediately it was kind of like you're listening and you're squirming, but you can't like turn it off. It's almost like a sex scene on TV. Not with that your mom's in the room. I mean, because she's talking about eating the ass of her boyfriend. And she's like, I have to tell you right now. I cannot believe I'm like repeating this. Like,
I couldn't do the research today because I was like actually busy at work. And
she was like talking about what it tasted like. They were talking about how like you could braid your ass hair like that, like, and how she shaves all the time. Again, more power to her that she can say that, because I'm always very impressed with TikTok videos when women are talking like this, because I'm like, oh my, you know.
I saw like a TikTok video of this like young girl being like, this is how to queef. And I'm like, what? Like, this is insane. Like, my friend, like, it was psychotic. And I'm like, what the fuck do your parents, like, are you gonna get into college? Like, in my day it was like, you can't have a picture of you with a red cup on Facebook or else you will not get into college. And now people are like, this is a tutorial on queefing.
But she even talked about what it tastes like, her technique.
What's the technique? I'm like, for asking for a friend.
Yeah, so she said at first she wasn't very good at it,
and then she's perfect, I heard.
Yeah, exactly. And then she was talking about how he tasted kind of like sweaty, and that they're still so into each other that like whatever they taste like or smell like is, you know, so sexy and all that, which I got a little jealous of.
Like,
that
honey, yeah, like, at that point, now husband's your boyfriend's asshole tastes like sweat. I'm like, ah. no comment. Anyways, carry on. I'm taking notes.
So I was at that point where I was a little jealous of that part, because I'm that point where I'm like, no, go take a shower. I'm not touching you right now.
Yeah.
And so they were like she was very descriptive on technique. And then I saved it, bookmarked it, so I could go back and re-listen, so I could take notes on her technique in case I ever needed it, if it was like a life or death situation.
Like, there's like a journal in your house somewhere that's like, tips on a good rim job by Hannah. Yeah,
you never know when you need it. You never know when you need. She might write a book like Lisa Rinna did. You know, that's how she landed Harry Hamlin, was through a good bullet job.
Yeah, I really should get that book and do hard research. Oh, maybe like, can you whip out your notebook where you took notes on her technique? Just one day.
It's a pretty thick book. It's a pretty thick book, let me tell you.
Yeah, thick. Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing was so hard to watch, where she's like, of course my daughter's read my book and that's how they found out how to give head. It's like, oh my God. Oh my God. There's like nothing in this world I would never in my life want to hear my mom. One, like, talk about my dad's penis. Like,
I'm like, just you saying that, I'm like, getting, like,
I know, like, I want to kill myself. Like, this show's over. I can't do this anymore. But like, how disgusting and like creepy. And of course, like, I believe, like, I'm not a parent, obviously, and you are, but like, of course, like, if your kids are bringing up sexual stuff to you, like, you shouldn't shame them into feeling like being sexual is a bad thing. However, I do believe like there could potentially be some kind of boundary where it's like, that's a conversation you have in college with your girlfriends as you're trying to like understand the male anatomy, not like reading
your mom's
memoir.
You don't
want
to cross boundaries to be like enmeshed. You don't want to like also cause them to have some sort of sexual dysfunction either.
Oh my God. Well, season 7 of Southern Charm is coming back, and we have a lot of the main cast members, but a bunch of new people, as we've been talking about on this show. But Thomas Ravenel, the pig of all pigs, has revealed on Twitter that he's actually getting married to Heather Maskow, who is his baby mama, who gave birth to their son Jonathan back in June. And he just tweeted, "Did anyone know I'm getting married?" Like, honestly, Thomas, nobody cares about anything you do. And like, you tweeting this is like such a desperate attempt for podcasters like moi to end up talking about it.
Which we did. Well played. It worked.
Thank you.
First of all, a lot of his articles say that she's his ex. So I think they're probably like that on and off roller coaster that he's really good at.
Yeah, he knows that. But well.
I heard that Ashley is doing the voiceovers, which, why is she not on like a Girl Interrupted Bunny Boiler ID channel show? I don't know. Like, why is she not voicing over that? Like, who are they trying to fuck with? Are they trying to fuck with Thomas or Catherine? Like, what is the purpose in having her on it? I don't know. And then also he said that he allowed Catherine, when her house was getting painted and wasn't quote unquote safe, she was staying in the guest room. He allowed them to film her and the kids at his place. Did you hear about that?
Wait, repeat that.
Catherine filmed the show at Thomas's house. He allowed it with the kids when she was staying with him. Weird. In the guest room.
Huh. He's a whack job.
The more you know.
He's so deeply twisted. And even, thank God he's off this fucking show. He needs to go to bed. Like, I am just done with him. But speaking of a good man from Charleston, Matul, who's Naomi Olindo's really hot boyfriend, got a job at Cornell Weill Hospital here in Manhattan. And so I'm thinking Naomi is going to move to NYC. It's another prediction.
Are you staking him out?
I am. I'm looking for a doctor.
I won't judge you.
Yeah, no, trust me. I'm going to like find out the flight he takes. And I'm going to be like, "Hey, Matul, I'm your Uber driver, Megan." And I'm going to get a little cap. I'm going to get like for Halloween, I'm going to be a sexy Uber driver, not even just an Uber driver. And I'm going to pick him up. I'm writing my own fan fiction of how I'm going to seduce Matul. I'm like, I know how to eat ass and I'm giving a gnarly blowjob. Like, you have no idea what I can do with my mouth, Matul.
I got a question for you. Again, this is not a controversial question because, again, I'm just asking, just like I asked about Bronwyn's thing. I don't have any opinion. I want you to give me your opinion and then I'll make that my opinion. Okay.
Done.
What do you think? Do you think she likes him or she saw him being like a good thing? You know, like he checked the boxes, or do you think she just matured and then because she grew up, it just doesn't look like as passionate as the toxic, like argumentative roller coaster. Like, do you think she likes him?
I don't know. I think doctors have like a real big dick energy towards women. And I think like a guy being like, "Here's my stethoscope," like a woman immediately just like drops panties. Like I don't want to get too into it, but I have a friend who is a similar situation where now she's like in this relationship with this guy and he's just such
so adult.
A milquetoast. Well, that's another thing, because they have such a serious job. Their life is so regimented. Their schedule is all like their family life is all about his schedule. Mm-hmm. So there was like no real time for fun and games. We even saw it like on the show where she was like, "No, Matul's not coming. He has to wake up early. No, Matul's not coming." And even Cameron had the same thing. And so I think like you automatically are forced to kind of mature into this like doctor's wife, because that's just the situation at hand. And there's like, it's like, okay, either you're in it or you're not in it. And I'm the doctor. And I
totally did the doctor's wife thing circa 1965 when I dated post-divorce I found the fountain of youth as a dermatologist in Rye, New York. I dated a dermatologist for a hot second. I got some free treatments, not to brag, but I totally slipped into that. I even tried to dress like it. Because I'm like all about,
you're like starting to wear scrubs all of a sudden. Yeah, you're like, oh my God, I can help.
You know, and then I try, like, we'd go out for dates, I'd be dressed in like Jackie O,
like pillbox hats,
fuck yeah, with like little like fake fur wraps and like little like person. I like pearls. I like embraced it. Yeah.
Oh my God. No,
but I'm not throwing any shade. I'm just like,
no, I mean, I think she likes him. And I think also she started her relationship with Craig under the assumption that he was going to be this lawyer. He's on the show. Mm-hmm. He has his whole life going for him. And then like, realistically, like he was just like a young kid and none of those things were true. None of them amounted to anything. And she kind of watched that time and time again. And how can you like keep putting your eggs in this basket for a man who is not doing anything, where she went to graduate school, she had a job, she was starting a business, she was helping her parents do their businesses. And so I understood why she didn't stay with him. I had like a boyfriend like that too, where like we first started dating and he had this great job at like a big bank here in New York and like had all these great things going for him. And then he's like, I'm gonna go to law school. I'm like, that's amazing. And then like all of a sudden, like poof, no law school. So all of a sudden stop studying. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna move back in with my parents and I'm not gonna go to law school and I'm gonna get a job locally here and try to figure out my life. And I'm like, well, I don't wanna figure out your life with you. Like, you're not my husband. Like, we're 23 and 24 and I've got shit going on. And you're just gonna like, I'm like, this isn't the guy I wanted to be with. And then I mean, obviously like hindsight showed me that like, oh wait, like that all those things like don't really matter about a person and like I shouldn't be putting weight in like a person's job and their career, but also like their follow-through was maturity. What I should be looking at. And
you don't want to raise your boyfriend. You don't want to raise your boyfriend. So it's arrested development. You don't want to raise your boyfriend. It's understandable.
That is so true. Truer words have never been spoken on this podcast.
But again, I'm also the girl that like dated then a stoner after the dermatologist had a VW bus and I was like, you know, wearing like got tattoos and like braided my, you know, did, like, the whole braids thing. Like, I'm not one to talk.
But moving on to our last and final topic of the night, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is officially being graced with the one, the only, Kathy Hilton, who is confirmed to be holding a diamond for the upcoming season 11 premiere. Wow.
I'm all about bringing out family dysfunction out on camera.
Same. I mean, we knew this was going to come eventually.
And it's like flowers in the attic playing out on screen. I'm all about it. The VC Andrews book here.
I kind of assumed she would be coming in as a friend of, but that's good for her. I mean, Kyle is somewhere crying so hard.
I just don't think Kyle, I don't feel like every show has that anchor. I don't feel like she's that. I took a break from Beverly Hills because I felt like I really thought I was getting old, that they would take one conflict and then Pantygate, Munchausen, like the bag of pills, like every season had their thing that they would run out 24 episodes. So I was like, I can listen to a podcast and get the recap of it.
Yeah.
But I watched recently, I tried to get back in because I really wanted to watch Garcelle and I heard about Sutton. So I was like, oh, I want to like watch this new season. And I did like Denise Richards. So I was like, I want to know like, what's the deal? Like, can I get back into it? And she was so fake on screen. It was like watching my mom drink too much at like a party. She was having a party at her house with bangs, okay, wearing like some tuxedo outfit. No lie, I got like flashbacks to like Christmas Eve where my mom was trying to like entertain. We didn't eat dinner till 9. We had dessert before dinner because my mom was like trying to prep and like drink or whatever. You know, I think Mauricio was all stoned out at the end of the table. I felt like I was at an old family holiday watching it. And she's just so manufactured on screen. Her acting classes that she needs to get back into them. She was trying to talk to the dog when Mauricio was trying to talk to her. I'm like, it's just so overly produced. I just don't feel like she has it in her to be that anchor OG housewife, even though I loved her on the first couple seasons. I mean, she would whore herself out for Mauricio to make sure he got a listing. Like, I was all about that. And I wonder if they're going to end up getting a spinoff for the agency. I'm like waiting for that.
I mean, that's probably a matter of time, but I wonder if we're actually ever going to address any of their issues in the past with Mauricio and Rick Hilton, because Mauricio left Hilton and Highland to start the agency and took a lot of the clients with him. And if you guys don't remember, a couple seasons ago when Nikki Hilton was getting married to that Rothschild, literally at Buckingham Palace, they didn't invite Mauricio and two of the four daughters, the two middle ones, Alexia and whatever, Sophia, but they invited Farrah and Portia. So there's a lot of drama in that family that I want answers on.
The way she was Brandy never lies. Well, Brandy also said your sister was doing coke in the bathroom or crystal meth in the bathroom.
So what is it? Is she a lie or not? And she also implied that your husband was cheating on you a bunch of times. It's so two truths and a lie. We're missing it. So, I'm excited for this. It should be good. And we also supposedly have another person joining the cast, which is Crystal Kung Minkoff. She'll be the first Asian American woman to join the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She founded Real Cocoa, which is a coconut beverage company that makes coffee creamers, coconut chips, and coconut water. And good for her. Excited for her to be on the show. But I have a real dislike for coconut water. I cannot believe people drink that as a hydrating beverage.
It tastes like I'm drinking oil.
It's disgusting.
Massage oil. That's what it tastes like to me. I can't. And I love coconut, but when I drink the water, I feel like I'm drinking oil. I have that aftertaste. Did I just get massage oil on my mouth or something?
Have you ever tried oil pulling with coconut oil in your mouth, where you swish it, just raw coconut oil, and you have to swish it for 20 minutes?
Is it a sex thing or?
No, this is an oral hygiene thing.
Really? Oh my gosh, I floss now. There's something more.
It's called oil pulling. It's I don't know. I've tried it a couple times because, not to brag, but I kind of have nice teeth. So I attempt to, I don't floss every day. I won't say I'm some really good flosser, but I try to floss every other day if I can remember. But then I was
crystals and shit. This sounds like a crystals Pinterest post.
No, this is actually, I am starting my own Goop called Moop, Megan Goop.
Just don't sell candles of your vagina, please.
No, I'm gonna leave that to Hannah Burner. She is going to be starting her own vaginal scent line alongside Goop and Gwyneth. But no, it's it's an old remedy to make your teeth whiter. You just swish coconut oil in your mouth, but it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I'll last 2 minutes doing it. And then I'm what I sometimes do is dip my toothbrush. This is even weirder. Dip my toothbrush.
These secrets. We're talking shit on Hannah Burner right now, but you're now you're showing secrets.
I know. I'm I have secrets too. They don't include an asshole, but they do include my toothbrush. So if I dunk my toothbrush and the bristles into a thing of coconut oil, I'll just brush my teeth with it for 5 minutes and just kind of do it as I'm doing nothing. And I'm I kind of think it's the same. And I brush my teeth normally in the morning and evening. If you guys were wondering about my dental routine. Anyways, Crystal founded this.
You just got crickets there.
Oh my God. My ADD today is, this is what, this is hard for me to do shows after a work day because my brain is go to sleep.
No, my Concerta wore it off. So that's why I'm what other demographic have I not pissed off already?
We just pissed off.
Don't repeat what my show is. Just say that if you have any questions or comments, direct them towards Megan at Bravo. Happy hour.
So yeah, we have her coming on the show too, which is cool. I'm excited for another person. We don't really know much about her, but I did see that she went to Kathy Hilton's Christmas party last year and Kyle was not at said Christmas party. So I have a feeling at least we have Crystal and Kathy coming in as girls, and Kathy knows the other ladies just simply because she's been on the show for so long. So this will be good. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I want to see people with money, so I'm happy.
True, yeah.
I want to see people outside of my own life, what I can't have. Because otherwise I'd be watching 90 Day Fiance and getting myself like there's plenty of people in my DMs to like enact that fantasy.
You should tell that to Tori Spelling, who keeps thinking she's going to be coming onto the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like every 4 hours I see like an email, like a headline saying Tori Spelling maybe joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this upcoming season. Honey, it'll never happen.
I would like to see maybe one of the Hudsons, like I think Oliver and what's his sister? The one, you know who I'm talking about, Kate Hudson.
Oh,
they have a podcast. Yeah, they have a podcast now. Because you know what? Everybody has a podcast. Tori's husband has a podcast. And remember all the junk that was said about Mary Jo? You know, he had the affair with Tori.
Oh, yeah.
And he left her when they were in the middle of adopting the baby girl and all that. She actually was a guest on his podcast. Like everybody has a podcast. I'm like amazed at the people that have a podcast.
That's like a dark one though. Like I wouldn't want to have like my mistress on. Like I feel like the editing had to be like really, really tight for that.
I watched Tori and Dean the first season and I dug it, but then it got really dark. It got really dark.
Yeah, no.
When they started the French fry business and then the B&B and
No. Like there is a line I draw, and Tori Spelling, whatever you did to your dad to get not a single dime, that's what I want to see. Like that's the only thing I want that's the only thing I want to know about Tori Spelling. Everything else has got to go, and no, you'll never be a housewife. You'll never be a Real Housewife in this town. Well, last and final thing for this episode, we have to talk about how Erica Jayne got some shit this past week because she reposted a meme by Brands by Bravo, which is like, I guess, an Instagram account that posts memes. And it was of her, Rinna, and Robin Dixon from Potomac. And the three of them were wearing like that pink suit that they all wore to various different events. And this Brands by Bravo posted it alongside with the pink ladies from Greece. So Erica ended up posting the same picture and like Frenchie, Rizzo, and Marty, Pink Ladies Kiss, photo credit Kyle Richards. And so the meme account then writes, hey, that's my photo. Can you credit me, please? And then I guess there was all this like back and forth. And Erica's basically like, no, honey, like Paramount took the Grease photo and Kyle took my photo and no.
Oh, and don't forget, and do something original that I can do some original shit I can really promote, honey.
Like,
you forgot
Erica,
that part.
Why are you just like aggressively coming for a fan who clearly loves you if they're creating memes about you?
In the pink ladies' jackets. It was not, you know.
And also,
it was like an iconic image.
Like, you would think that Erica would take a page from Kyle Richards' friend, the Fat Jew's book, and give credit to where credit is due.
How about Erica had a fucking ghostwriter for her bestseller book? How about Erica had her husband pay for her music career and her stylist and whatever music auto-tune bullshit she does? Again, I'm not hating on Erica Jayne or whatever, but depending on how you want to look at it, like everybody's like getting some sort of, you know, like she's not exactly like Leonardo da Vinci or whatever creation she's doing. You know what I mean? Like she's not exactly out there winning the Nobel Peace Prize on original like mathematic equation, you know?
Yeah, no. And so where it's like, maybe if you create something original, it's like, well, are you sitting in the studio creating the beats on your song and or writing any of the lyrics and or doing any of the creative direction for your music videos? It's like, no, honey.
Did her ghostwriter get the credit when she was on the New York Times bestseller list?
Not that, but at least Brian did get on the show. I like Brian Moylan. He's great and an amazing writer. But I don't think...
Have advertised that otherwise, because when she was talking about because that's the part I did watch, is when she was in the process of writing it or whatever, it was all her. Like I don't think if that stuff didn't leak, I don't think she wouldn't be advertising that.
Yeah, definitely not. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Carrie, this was so fun. We talked so much longer than my normal episode. So hopefully people are happy with the extra little 11 this week.
I'm so honored.
Well, ladies and gentlemen who listen to this episode, just listen to what Carrie says, have no standards, and own it, baby.
Exactly.
Well, where can people find you, follow you, and listen to your awesome podcast?
If you want to find me, and not to say anything negative, because, you know, I offended a lot of people.
No one's saying shit. Are you kidding? My show, like, trust me, like, I do get raked over the coals often, but
believe that, because you're really good at staying, like, in the middle.
That's crazy.
So I'm at Sip and Shine Podcast at Sip Shine Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And so, yeah, you can find me where you find this podcast.
Yay. Well, thank you for coming on. And you and Jess have to come on soon to do that OC episode when I can muster up a desire to podcast on the weekend. We will definitely do it. All right. Well, thanks for coming on and we'll chat soon.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.